So we're in Perikos, chapter 20 of Shoftim, and we got up to, I think we got up to Pasuk Yud Beis, verse 12. So the people of the other tribes of Israel have gathered to go to war against the tribe of Binyamin, or at least against the people of Giva, and I think we said there were 400,000 numbering to go, or 40,000. How many did we say? Arba Meos, yeah, 400,000 soldiers, and they just chose out 10% of them would service the other ones, and now they're ready to take care of the people of Giva. Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayishluchu Shiftei Yisrael Anoshim V'chol Shiftei Binyamin Leimar. And the tribes of Israel sent men into the tribes of Binyamin, which means the different families within Binyamin, and said to them, Ma hara hazos asher niyasa v'chem. What is this great evil that has occurred among you? The Atta, or how could this happen? The Atta, and now, Tenu es ha'anoshim b'nei v'liyaw, asher bagiva unemisem. Hand over to us these men, these yokeless men that are in Giva, and we will kill them. Univara ra'a miyisrael, and we will destroy, we will uproot this, burn out this evil from Israel. And that's what they demanded. And the pasuk records, "V'lo'avu Binyamin lishma b'kol acheyem b'nei Yisrael." And the people of Binyamin do not agree; they would not listen to the voice of their brothers, the people of Israel. "V'yasu b'nei Binyamin min ha'arim ha'givasa." And the people of Binyamin gathered from the different cities; they came to Giva to defend the people of Giva. "V'atzeis la'milchama im b'nei Yisrael." To go out to war with B'nai Yisrael. Oh, how many people were the B'nai B'liyam? How many? No, we just know it was a mob. I don't think we're going to get a specific number. We know it wasn't the whole town. We know it was plural. Yeah. I guess so. Pasuk Tesva Vayispaktu B'nei Binyamin Vayomahu Meha'arim. And the B'nei Binyamin, the people of Binyamin, added up to, from all these cities, Esrim B'shisha Elefish Sholei Charev. 26,000 men armed with swords. Levad miyoshei hagiva, yispaktu, shvam miyosh yispachor. And besides for the people of Giva, who numbered 700 of the choicest men. So you have a total of 26,700 men of Binyamin and 400,000 men from the rest of the tribe. Mikola, mazesh, shvam miyosh yispachor. From all of this nation, 700 of the choicest men, Iter Yad Yamino, they were left-handed. Kol ze kolea be'evan el asara v'lo yachati. All these 700 men, they were experts with the slingshot. They could launch a stone at a hare without missing. Yeah, they were left-handed. Iter Yad Yamino means they were, somehow means they were left-handed.
What's that guy?
I'm not sure. It could be that you, well, yeah, no, you bring in the lefties, you know. I'm not sure why that's of significance. What? I don't remember seeing anything. Yeah, I don't know. Mr. Zapper, you have any idea why being a lefty would make you a better slingshot?
Probably because the shield of a righty would be hard to move into place. going to go off to your tag. You just went swimming.
I don't know.
Yeah, because you swung at me with your left hand. If I had my shield over here. No, I wouldn't have my shield. Yeah. I had my shield, my right.
Right. You're right. Here's a suggestion. If I swing like, right, most people are righties, so he's got his sword in his right hand and his shield in his left. So if I'm a lefty, then I'm swinging, so it's more likely to miss the field. Which is wherever, right, okay.
That's your left hand. Your right hand, that's your left hand. That's right, it would come around the shield.
Sounds good. It sounds like a good theory. All right. So, but that's what they had. They had 26,700 up against 400,000. Pasuk Yudayin de Ish Yisrael Hisbaktu Levadim Binyamin Arba Meos Elef Yisrael Echarev. And again, it reminds us that the people of Israel added up to 400,000 men, sword-bearing men, Koza Ish Nochama, all men of war. Vayakumu Vayalu Beis El. And they got up and they went to Beis El. Vayishalu Elohim, and they asked of Hashem, Vayomru B'nei Yisrael, and the people of Israel said, Mi Yalelonu Batchilo Lanochama in B'nei Binyamin. Who should go first to fight against the B'nei Binyamin? Vayomer Hashem, and Hashem responded, Yehuda Batchilo. Yehuda should go first. So, what's going on here? So Beis El, most of the commentators understand in this pasuk actually refers to Shilo, the house of God, where the Mishkan was at present. And they went to ask the Urim Betumim. They went to ask of the Kohen Gadol to use the Urim Betumim, to use the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol with the stone for an answer to what they should do. And the question that they posed was, who should go to war first? Either nobody wants it to be first, or everybody wants it to be first. I guess it's also possible that some people wanted to and others didn't, but they asked who should go out to war first. Now you'll notice, and we'll come back to this, that they don't ask, should we go to war? They don't ask, will we win the war? Will we be successful? All they ask is, who should go first? And Hashem responds with Urim Betumim, Yehuda v'atchila, Yehuda's first. He doesn't say go. Hashem doesn't say, you're going to win. He just answers the question, Yehuda should go first. Vayakumu b'nei Yisrael b'boker, vayachanu al ha-giva. And b'nei Yisrael got up in the morning and they encamped around Giva. Vayetze ish Yisrael ha-melchama in Binyamin. And the men of Israel went out to war against Binyamin. Vayarchu itam ish Yisrael melchama al ha-giva, and they waged war against them toward Giva. Vayetzu b'nei Binyamin min ha-giva, and the men of Binyamin came out from Giva. Vayashchisu v'Yisrael v'yomahu shnayim v'esrim elef ish arsa. And the b'nei Binyamin slayed 22,000 men from Israel. Right, we're starting with only 20. Binyamin has only 26,700, and they killed, out of the 400,000, now they killed 22,000. There were 22,000 Levium, I think, between. Yeah, I'm not sure. I think there were 22,000 Levium, 22,300 maybe, in one of the towns. So they killed 22,000 men. Vayichaze ka'om ish Yisrael, and the nation, the men of Israel, the tribes, they strengthened themselves. Vayosifu la'aruch nochama ba'makom asher aruchu shom ba'yom arishon. And they continued to wage war in the same place that they did on the first day. Vayaru b'nei Yisrael. And the b'nei Yisrael went up. Vayizku isnei Hashem ad ha'erev. And they cried before Hashem until evening. Vayisaru v'Hashem leimor. And they asked of Hashem, saying, Ha'osif la'geshef la'melchama in b'nei b'nyam and achi. Should I continue to wage war against the Bnei Binyamin, my brother? Hayomer Hashem, and Hashem said, Alu Eva, go up against them. Hayikrubu Bnei Yisrael, Bnei Binyamin, Bayom Hashem. And the Bnei Yisrael approached the Bnei Binyamin on the second day. Hayetze Binyamin would cross something, I give up. And Binyamin went up to greet them from Giva by Yom Hasheni on the second day, by Ashrisu b'Bnei Yisrael od Shmonas Asar Elef Ish Arsa, and they killed off another 18,000 men, coming up to 40,000 altogether now, a tenth of the original tribe called Eilat Shol Secharev. All of them were infantry; they were sword bearing. So Bnei Yisrael, this time, all the nation goes up to Beis El, to the Mishkan in Shiloh, and they cried, and they sat there before Hashem. They did tshuva, vayatsumu bayomahu ad ha'arev, and they fasted that day until evening. Vayalu olos u'shlamim u'tnei Hashem, and they brought karbanos. They brought karbanos ola, which are completely burned, and they brought shlamim before Hashem. Karban toda, some say, to thank Hashem for what, you know, those who had survived, you know, seeing that they were, you know, they were supposed to lose, they were happy to have, all the ones who did escape were happy to have escaped the war, and they brought shlamims, which were carbon todas, to thank Hashem. Others say they brought shlamim lasso shalom beinam ravim to b'shamayim. Shlamim is like a peace offering. They brought them to make peace between them and their father in heaven. Vayisalu b'nei Yisrael b'Hashem. And again, the B'nai Yisrael, this time, after fasting and doing tshuva, they asked Hashem, they asked the Urim the Tumim, the Sham Aron Bris Kar Elokim, and there was the Aron in Shiloh, Bayami Mahim, in those days. So there's a slight implication that the first place where they went was not this place, because it only mentions the Aron now. So I think some say, will say that, and that was the problem up till now, was that they weren't asking in the right place the right person, the Kohen Gadol with the Aron. I don't know who they were asking, but they weren't. Yeah, so I'm not sure how these commentaries understand it. There are those who say that up till now they weren't in the right place and the right person, because. Because the next pasuk, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron omed lefanav bayomim ahim, and Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron a Kohen was the Kohen Gadol in those days. He lived a very long time. Although actually, this is right after the end of the land of Israel. This isn't surprising that Pinchas is still around. I don't know. They don't say. I'm not sure. Yeah. But I think, you know, the most learned that they went to the same place each time, and they went to the room, the tomb each time. And this time, they do say. They say, I don't remember who I saw this in, when you go to war, there's a Kohen Mashuach Melchama that goes out with you. There's a Kohen who's anointed for war, and he wears the garb of the Kohen Gadol. He's like a backup Kohen Gadol, sort of. And that's who they asked the first two times. That's what they say. And that was not the right thing to do. They were supposed to ask they sort of asked, gone to the Mishkan and where the Aron was, and asked Pinchas. That too. So that, yeah. So we're going to get to that also. So here they, Pinchas is there, and they ask him, should I continue to go out to war with Binyamin, my brother, or should I stop? Vayomer Hashem, and Hashem's response to the Urim Tumim was, Alu, go up, Imachar etnenu v'yodecha, because tomorrow I will give them into your hand. So this time they're assured victory. Pasuk Chaf Tes, verse 29, Vayasem Yisrael Arvim El Hagiva Sabin. So this time they make up a little more strategy. They place ambushers around Giva, and the plan is that they're going to draw the Benjamites, the people of Binyamin, out of the city, and then either they'll go, the people behind them will go into the city, or they'll get them from behind also. That was their plan. Vayalu b'nei Yisrael b'nei Binyamin b'yom ha'shalishi. And the B'nai Yisrael went up against the B'nai Binyamin on the third day. And they waged war against Giva as they had each time. And the B'nai Binyamin went out to greet the nation, to fight them. Hunt kitu, very interesting word. Hunt kitu min ha'ir. They separated themselves from the city. And the B'nai Binyamin began to strike down corpses from the nation as they had each time. Asher Achas Ola Beisel, on the road that one of them went towards Beisel, the Achas Givasa Basadeh, and one went towards Giva. And they killed about 30 people from Israel. So basically, in order to draw Binyamin after them, they had to make Binyamin think that they were winning. You know, maybe they were even at first, and they Binyamin seems killed 30 more people. And their reaction, Pasuk Lamed Beis, verse 32, Vayomru b'nei Binyamin, and the people of Binyamin said, Nigafim heim lefaneinu kivarishona. They're stricken down before us like at first. We're winning again. We've got them. Uvnei Yisrael Amru, and the Bnei Yisrael, they said, and they were tricking them. They were faking them out. They were tricking them. They said, Nanusa unistaknuhu, let's run and save ourselves. I'm not sure what actually that word is doing here. Nistaknuhu from like mistaking, like fix ourselves, but arrange ourselves. Minayir al amasilos, from the city to the road. So they began to run. And Binyamin gave chase. The whole East Yisrael come on in the Komo, and all the people of Israel got up in their place, meaning they stopped running, they turned around, Vayarchu b'Baal Tamar, and they waged war in Baal Tamar. And the other people, the men that had been positioned to ambush, also got up. The Orev Yisrael Megiach in the Komo in Mare Gava, and the ambushers of Israel, the ones that they had positioned behind the Binyamin Benjamites, they came out of their spot, Mimare Gava, which was some open plain. Vayavo Mineged Giva, and they came behind Giva. Aseret Alafim East Bachor Mikol Yisrael. 10,000 choice men from Israel. And the battle was very intense, very heavy. Meaning Binyamin was fighting on, they didn't realize that there were people on all sides, they didn't realize that they were sort of surrounded. They didn't know that evil was approaching, that they were in trouble. And Hashem struck Binyamin before Israel. And the Bnei Yisrael killed on that day 25,100 men, all of them bearing swords. Okay. So the rest of the parak is going to go into further detail of how the battle actually played out. Oh, so good question. So here we have 25,100 men that were killed on this day. What happened to the other 1,600? Because we started with 26,700. So the Radak asked this question. He says that certainly some people from Binyamin died in the first two rounds also. Even though, you know, they dominated the tribes, but certainly some people died, and that, but in that, you know, and the rest were wiped out now, but right, everybody was wiped out in the end. Or, you know, close to everyone. So that's the basic story. And then the rest of the parak is going to go into more detail of how the battle played out. So let's go back a little bit and go through it a little more slowly. We have here three rounds of battle, right? The first round, 22,000 of the tribes of Israel get killed. The second round, 18,000 get killed. And the third round, finally things turn around and they win and they kill off the rest of the people of Binyamin who are fighting them. We're going to see that there's not going to be much left of Binyamin, of the tribe of Binyamin, at the end of this whole episode. The entire tribe is almost wiped out. So, what changed from the first two times to the third time? What was this? Why were they not able to be victorious the first two times, and why were they victorious in the end? What's going on here? Why, in general, you know, why didn't they just win the first time? This is, you know, Israel, they're coming to the defense of Hashem's honor. Why weren't they successful at first?
They were presumptuous. They didn't ask, should we go up? Who should go first? It's just that they weren't going to consult with God about that.
Very good.
Mental point.
Very good. So before we mention that one, so that's going to be the, you know, along the lines of general approach of the commentaries here. There is a Gemara that we've mentioned in the past that the Gemara says that this episode follows the episode of Pesel Micha, of the idol of Micha, which they didn't put a stop to. And the Gemara says that Hashem said to them, Zichvodi ro mechisem, Zichvodcha, Zichvod basar badam mechisem, you didn't protest my honor when there was an idol, when people were worshipping idolatry, but you protest your own honor when somebody gets defiled. You come to, all of a sudden it's something to go to war for, and therefore, even though it was right for them to protest, you know, such a terrible thing, but in context, and relative to their reaction to the honor of Hashem being desecrated, so that's why they were punished at first. That's what the Gemara said. The Ramban takes, you know, the approach along the lines that Mr. Sapper was suggesting, which is that they were presumptuous. They were too reliant on their own strength. Now, let's see how he says it. So he says, and this Ramban again is in Parshas Vayera, after he discusses the comparison between Sodom and Givah. He then just goes on to talk a little bit about the story of Pelegish the Givah. And he says there were two things wrong. One was that they should have left it to Binyamin to take care of their own people. And
really?
That it's the responsibility of the tribe to deal with their own, the people of Givah, the tribe of Binyamin, the leaders should have been, they should have left it to them to deal with it. And secondly, right, they relied on their own strength. They didn't ask, will we be victorious? They just asked how they should go to war. I imagine that every tribe had a leader. It seemed like a pretty quick response. You know, it seemed that the message got sent out, they gathered, you know, and they did send the message to Binyamin, but it was already after they had all gathered together, and it was like kind of too little too late, So the second problem was that they didn't ask Hashem if they should go to war, if they're going to be victorious. They were confident that they would be. Now, he says something interesting. He says that Holach Hashem im Shneyem Bikteri. Hashem went with both of them Bikteri, which is from the Tochacha, that if you go with me Bikteri, then I'll go with you Bikteri. And what that means, like when Hashem goes Bikteri, the Rambam explains, and it seems to mean that over there in the Tochacha also, is he left it to happenstance. He wasn't Mashiach. Exactly. So that's what's interesting about this Ramban. He says, he says that Binyamin was very strong, and they had strong cities, and that's why they defeated the Israel at first. That it wasn't, even though the numbers were very skewed, but they were attacking strong Benjamite strongholds, and that it wasn't that Hashem miraculously made Binyamin win, but it was that Hashem left it sort of to their own devices. Yeah, I guess so. Now, he says the Ramban, after Bnei Yisrael lost the first fight, so they recognized that they had done something wrong, that they didn't have permission to do this, it wasn't Kedin Tara, they weren't supposed to go to war. Meaning, he says, they recognized their first mistake, which was that they didn't have permission to do this, that they were supposed to leave it to Binyamin. And therefore, that's why they asked after the first time, you know, can we go to war against Binyamin? And, right, they go looking back for a second at Pasuk Chaf Gimel. They said, Ha'otif O'Geshes L'Melchama, should we continue? They didn't ask, are we going to be successful? Again, they relied, that they assumed their own strength still. They corrected their first mistake, that they didn't have permission to go to war. It wasn't Kedin at first. So now they were asking Hashem, can we do this? And Hashem said, yes, you could. But they didn't correct their second mistake, which was to rely on their own strength. They still didn't ask, will we be successful? They again assumed that they would be, once they, you know, and that their only problem was that they hadn't had permission. And they continued to go to war. And Parak Chas, we're in a range of psukim from like Yud Aleph through Lamed Gimel or so. That was their mistake, that the second time they corrected their first mistake, that they hadn't had permission to go to battle, but they did not correct their second mistake, which was that they relied on their own strength. And again, they get routed, they get 18,000 men are killed, and finally they realize their problem, and they do tshuva, and they bring karbanos, and they fast, and they daven, and they, and on the third time, they ask Hashem, will we be successful if we go to war against the Yemen? And this time they got it right finally, and Hashem says yes, and indeed they are successful. The Alter from Kelm takes this Ramban and this whole story, and he brings out a few, you know, he points some very important lessons. So first of all, he says, first he just marvels at the great Kiddush Hashem that's going on here, that the people, the tribes of Israel are, you know, one woman is defiled. You know, it's a terrible act, right? But it's just one woman. And for all of, you know, 10 tribes, 400,000 men to gather together for such a Chil Hashem, he says, is unbelievable. And, you know, it would never happen nowadays, he says, in his day. And even though, as we mentioned, the Gemara seems to, in a way, that was a taina, that was a claim against them, because they didn't respond in the same way towards Pesel Micha. But at the end of the day, it's still, you know, they such a response, such an amazing Kiddush Hashem. Hayesh Kiddush Hashem Yoser Mizeh, he writes. Shekol Yisrael Olu L'Milchama Al Zadon Miktas Anshe B'liyal. Really, you know, Be'ezeh Isha Achas Pileges. For one woman, you know, all of Israel gets up to come to her defense. Is there a Kiddush Hashem greater than this? Not so much just for her, because it's for her, to her defense, but for because there's a Chil Hashem here, and they had to respond to what the people of Giva had done. So that's the first point he makes. And then he says that, and then what happens? They lose, right? They lose in battle. So they make this tremendous Kiddush Hashem, and they're putting their lives on the line for Hashem's honor, and then they lose. So what would be the response to normally? He says, imagine if that happened nowadays. You know, it would turn into blasphemy. People would be like, we did this for Hashem. Look, there must not be a God, because, you know, look, we're fighting Hashem's army. We're fighting for Hashem, and look what happened. You know, obviously, you know, there's nothing going. You know, there's no Ashkacha. Because look what happened. That's what he says would be the normal response, but that's not their response. They understand, they look in internally, again, they don't necessarily make the right conclusion at first, but they go back to the Urim and Thummim, and they ask again, they realize they did something wrong, and that's their response. And then, again, they don't get it right completely, and they still, you know, they're killed again. There's 18,000 men are killed this time. And again, they blame themselves. They blame their own sins. They don't say, you know, how can Hashem do this to us? And they do tshuva. And then they, because of that, they're eventually victorious. Now, he also points out, I think, a very important point, which is that the main Tanya, the main claim against them that carried through, was that both the first time and the second time they did not ask, will we be successful? Because they relied on their own strength. They asked, who should go first? That was their first question. And then they asked, should we continue to fight? But they didn't ask, will we be successful? And that's because they were relying on their own strength. But he says, like, imagine, you know, it's 400,000 against 26,000. Like, why wouldn't you rely on your own strength? And, you know, he gives a muscle of someone who, interesting muscle, I'm not sure, you know, I don't know if he really needs a muscle, but he says, imagine, you know, somebody has a business, he's a monopoly, nobody else has it, everybody buys from him, so, you know, he's very successful, he's the most successful guy in town, there's no competition. Does he daven? You know, does he need Hashem's help for Parnassa? No, it's the guy who's downtrodden and needs a job. You know, he's the one who has to go daven. But the guy who's very successful, you know, in business, so does he need Hashem's help? He thinks not, right? You don't see that type of person may not daven for help. So he says the same thing here. It's like understandable almost why they would have, 400,000 against 26,000. So makes sense that they would rely on their own strength. But yet you see that no, that even then, even when it's still, it's not Kofim Rotsim Yadi Yasri Yisachayim. Okay, it's not my own strength that gives me this army. It's not your victory isn't going to come from your own strength. And even if you know it seems like it's going to be so easy, it's going to be smooth sailing. But it's still not going to happen without the Yad Hashem and without Tefillah. And that even then you're going to need Tefillah in order to be successful. Were they not aware of that Binyamin was drunk? Yes. Yeah. So these two ideas, I guess not. Right. Right, he is working within the Ramban, but he seems to ignore that point that the Ramban says that Binyamin had very strong cities. Or it could be like you're saying, it was their perception that it was guaranteed victory. It's just a matter of like, is it the right thing to do or not? Or first it's a matter of who should go first, and then it was a matter of, you know, maybe is this kedin, or is this the proper thing to do? But there was never a question until the third time of, you know, are we going to be able to win this? It was all but guaranteed. So they realized, no, they were relying too much on their own strength. So that's the Ramban. The Malbim, along the lines of Ramban, but he has many diukim, careful readings of the psukim to bring out a number of points of where they went wrong. The Malbim says that they had actually three mistakes in this episode. The first one is this point, the same as the Ramban, that they relied too much on their strength. So he points out that in the second time, so if we look at Pasuk Chaf Beis, right? So in Chaf Aleph they get routed first time. 22,000 men are killed. What happens in Pasuk Chaf Beis? By Yischazek Ami Shisra, they strengthen themselves. By Yosipu Varoch Melchama, they continue to wage war. In the same place that they waged war on the first day. So the mob points out they're already back at war. Then in Chaf Gimel it says, and they went and they cried to Hashem, and just as Bnei Yisrael, it's just some people, as opposed to next time it's going to say Kol Ha'am. Some of them went and they cried out. So he says they were already re-engaged in the battle. And then they decided, let's send some people, some leaders, back to Shiloh, back to the Mishkan, to ask the Urim Batumim, you know, if this is a good idea. But he says, you see that they first went back to war. They didn't ask Hashem at first, even on the second time. And when it says that they went up, so it was just a few of them, and they asked, again, should we continue? Right? Ha'osin, Vageshen. They're already engaged in this battle, in the second battle, and they asked, should we continue? because they're already there. They're already on the brink. And again, like the Ramban says, their question was, is this al pi din? Is this the proper thing to do? And they did not ask, will we be successful? As opposed to on the third time, that's where they asked, will we be successful? That's the first thing that he points out. The second mistake he says is that they didn't do tshuva at first, the first two times. Before the first time, they didn't do any tshuva. We have no, you know, they go to war, they lose. So after that, it says, Vayalu b'nei Yisrael, which we already said wasn't everyone, because they were already on the brink of battle. So some of them went back to Shiloh, and it doesn't say that they cried, it doesn't say they brought karbanos. On the third time, so there it says, on the third time, in Pasuk Chavav, it says, Vayalu kol b'nei Yisrael v'chol ha'am. Everybody, I don't know who everybody is, but I guess the whole army, they all went to Shiloh, they all cried, they all did tshuva, and that's why on the third time they were successful. That's the second point that changed between the first two times and the third time, was that they did tshuva. And the third difference, he says, is that this was the point that I referenced before, was the Malbim who says it, that the first two times they didn't ask in the right place or to the right person. Others learned that they did. The way the Malbim learned is that after the first time they asked the Kohen Meshulach Melchama, the Kohen who was out to war with them, who also had, I guess, I guess he had an Urim Batumim. I don't know. I didn't realize there were two. Yeah, I thought so too. So I'm not sure how that would have worked. Maybe they just asked him and he had some kind of Nehuah. I'm not sure. But he says they didn't ask and they didn't go to the Mishkan, as opposed to on the third time where he actually says that that they went to... They cried, and it says Visham Aron Frisael Kim, there was the Aron, and there was Pinchas Ben Elazar Ben Aron, and that was only on the third time, and that was the third mistake, and that was what they corrected, and that's why after the third time they were indeed victorious.